Welcome to Cider Chat, bringing you interviews with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. This week, we are featuring interviews with makers and enthusiasts who all attended the Hardcore Cider Tour based in Santa Cruz, California, in June of 2019. This is episode 187. I am the host and producer of this cider-centric podcast, and my name is Rhea Wincoller. We're going to be getting straight away to the featured chat, but first, a wee bit of news out and about in Ciderville. Welcome to Cider Chat. If you are a new listener of this here podcast, and if you're a regular listener, well, you know that I am now on an every other week schedule through the summer. I'm in the midst of, well, figuring out how to grow this podcast. So I'm really relying on you, if you're a regular listener, to spread the word and tell people. And that's especially if you are in the industry of cider. Everyone gains from, I believe, listening to Cider Chat and getting kind of like a huge bird's eye view of what's happening in the cider landscape worldwide. It blows me away, the stories and the archive of material that is now on this podcast. So definitely spread the word. I'm counting on the folks at the cider bars to, you know, put a little notice up, say, hey, you know, there's a cider podcast. Listen to it. It's really helpful. You want to learn more about cider? Check it out. So thank you very much if you've already done that. And if you haven't, well, this is a little kind reminder to you. Speaking of a little kind reminder, if you want to find out a little bit what I'm trying to do with Cider Chat, well, you could go to the Cider Chat Patreon page. There is an open posting right there that tells you the challenge of doing a cider podcast. It might feel a little familiar if you're a producer. And also, there's a really nice link there on orcharding and cider making in Wales and what they're doing. So a whole bevy of audio and video so that on my weeks off, you could have something to look at. In addition, I'll be posting more material to the patrons of Cider Chat. You too can become a patron. It's really easy, and I hope it makes you have this good feeling inside, because not only are you getting to drink in what this podcast delivers, you get to leave a tip to the producer, who is me, so that I could then keep on delivering to you. So a lot of good things there, and I'll be getting back to that. But in the meanwhile, I just want to give a warm welcome to Gidon Cole of Original Sin, who just became a patron of Cider Chat. If you don't know Gidon, he is the producer at Original Sin Cider based in New York State. He's been in cider making really for a long time, you know, up there with like the same level as like Farnham Hill and West County. He came in from a different direction, getting his cider on tap at craft beer boutique bars early on. He's been in this game for over 20 years, I believe. I have no doubt. And is an avid listener of Cider Chat. So it's really nice, Gidon, to have you on board. Big tip of the glass to you. And definitely check out Original Sin, what he's doing there. I think he's kind of shy. That's kind of a known piece there. Doesn't really get all the notice that he should for being one of those early on in the U.S. makers. So that's pretty cool. And also a big shout out to Brian, who just became a patron of Cider Chat too. And to all the patrons of Cider Chat who've been writing me letters of support for keeping this podcast on. I mean, you are just killing me. See, I'm getting a little weepy here right now because it's been a lot. And anybody who's in the industry of cider knows that, you know, we are on an uphill climb. And man, it takes a lot to spread the good cheer. So if you're a listener, whether you're a commercial or not, do spread the good cheer by just telling other folks about podcasts. If that's all you could do and you can't financially support this podcast, that alone would be huge. Put up a little play card on your in your cider bar or at your tasting room saying, hey, there is a podcast with 100, almost 200 episodes. You can listen nonstop for a week. Check it out. All right. And let's check out next. And when we take a little bit of a pause here, we're going to check out next the Hardcore Cider Tour and some of the conversations that I recently recorded at that event. That'll be coming right up. But meanwhile, a little bit of a tune from my cousin Jay when we recently were able to do a bit more of recording of our new favorite song titled We Like Cider. On the last week of June, I had the opportunity while in California on some family business to visit some cider makers and producers and to bring you this week's episode. So we're going to go straight to the Hardcore Cider Tour, which was my first ever attendance to one. They offer these cider festivals, if you will, up and down the California coast. And the first one ever took place in Santa Cruz. So that was kind of like their home port. And early on, before the actual Cider Fest opened, I was able to go around and speak to a number of California producers I had never met before. So that was really exciting. And then to also to have a chat with cider enthusiasts. So you're going to hear a little mix here of little snippets from makers in the region and also from enthusiasts. And what I do with cider enthusiasts when I'm at a Cider Fest is to give them a script to follow with specific questions, because I find it so interesting to see what a cider drinker maybe on the East Coast might say as opposed to somebody on the West Coast or in Michigan or in Chicago, wherever I am when I'm at a Cider Fest. So that's what you're up for here. I think you'll find it very informative. And super informative for me was to find out about some of the regional producers of cider in Northern California that I hadn't really touched base with. So there's some new folks kind of on the map just coming out, but also who might have a really long, long history with production and growing of both apples and pears. So we're going to go to that next, and we'll first have this chat with Albert, who was really the founder of the Hardcore Cider Tour and goes under Sipping Syndicate. And you'll hear a little bit about what he's doing and welcoming us into the Hardcore Cider Tour in Santa Cruz, California in 2019.
There is a reason why we do it like this. There is a reason why we drink it like this. There is a reason.
Hi, everyone. My name is Albert Martinez. I am the founder of the Hardcore Cider Tour. And today we're in Santa Cruz, California. This is actually where it all began for us. This is our fifth year here, so we're super excited, and the first city that we ever did an event in. So for us, it's a very special event to have today. Beautiful day, a lot of great ciders present. So we're a great crowd expected, so yeah, excited.
How long have you been doing this, Albert? How long has this Hardcore Cider Tour been rolling out? And what cities are you in?
Yeah, so we've been 5 years, and we are in Santa Cruz. We're in San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, and San Diego. Yeah.
And do all those tours take place in the summertime, or can people expect maybe to see a Hardcore Cider Tour happening?
Yeah, so we start in the summer. This is our first one, and then from here we go all the way until October. So September, October, and we end officially by the end of October and wrap it up for the year. So kind of we like to end in fall. You know, it kind of matches with the harvest of apples and cider that we just feel like go hand in hand. So.
How did you get involved in this?
So I've been an event planner actually for quite some time. I've done other spirits. I used to be in the tequila world. And then, you know, I just like cider on the gluten side of it. And I just, you know, there wasn't anything for it. And just took that talent and gave it its own space. And it's really, really shined. It's a really special group and community with the cider makers. So we really, really like that to work with them. So.
And if folks wanted to find out about the Hardcore Cider Tour, where would they go online for that?
Yeah, so they can go either to thehardcorecidertour.com or Sipping Syndicate. Both will take you to the link where you'll be able to find all the information about the Hardcore Cider Tour or upcoming events and just other great news about it. Yeah.
Thank you, Albert.
Yeah, thank you, Rhett. Thanks so much.
There is a reason why we do it like this. There is a reason why we drink it like this. There is a reason.
Sorry, Indigenous. Reserve. We're over in Sonora, California, near Yosemite and Pinecrest. We have three hard ciders. We have our extra crisp, our blackberry, and our organic, which has 52 different varieties of apples. It's my apple champagne. It's
in
divine.
The extra crisp.
In the organic. I have three.
And
then we have two other ones, our blackberry and our extra crisp hard cider, which are our... Those are available in stores where the organic is not. It's our harvest blend. So every single season it changes. It's a family-run business. It's amazing. Like, we have all organic trees, all hand-picked up in Sonora. And we have 100-year-old trees with multiple varieties grafted onto each one.
And how long has your family held
I wish I was part of this family, but they've only had it for the past, I want to say, almost 10 years now. And then the Summers family owned it previously, and they're still very close by with their old truck meandering around. And
oh, sweet.
It's a very small town in that sense.
Yeah. And how long have you been involved in cider?
4 years.
4 years.
Wine previously, so it's a completely different beast, but
just
as exciting.
Why cider now? What got you into it?
Well, I went from Santa Cruz to Sonora, and we're not only a cider company, but we also distill vodka and brandy and limoncello.
Are you distilling? Are you the distiller?
No, I wish. Actually, the owner, who's 75 years old, is there 7 days a week, and he's our still master.
Whoa.
It's pretty incredible.
Wow. What kind of still is he using?
Copper still from Germany.
Nice.
Its name is Carl.
Carl.
It's beautiful.
Is it still named Carl?
It still is actually named Carl.
Is he named Carl too?
Yeah.
What's his full name?
Well, we'll just say Carl Watson because that's the name of the owners, but we'll just go with that.
All right. And what's your name?
I'm Angela Hodges.
There is a reason why we do it like this. There is a reason why we drink it like this. There is a reason.
My name is Cody Morrison. We're with Tin City Cider Company, and we're out of Paso Robles, California.
Paso Robles is weird for folks who have no idea listening from Japan right now. Where would it be located?
So it's Central Coast of California, halfway up the state, West Coast.
Okay, halfway up the state from, well, this is a long state now. I'm going to like
this is
give,
true.
Give
so
you the trivia
how about
thing.
This? Right between Los Angeles and San Francisco. Smack in the middle.
All right. Equal distance between the two.
That's what they say, yeah.
No kidding. Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. All right. And how long has the cider we've been open?
Boy, we're going on about 3 years now.
3 years.
Yeah.
Okay, well, congratulations to that. And I hear that you helped out with a cider here called Shack Attack.
Yes, I did. So
tell me a little bit about this cider.
Yeah, it's pretty great. So there's two owners of Tin City Cider, Kurt Shacklin and Andrew Jones, and they're both winemakers, so they have their own wine labels. And that being said, we get access to grapes. So during last harvest, Kurt, he was making a late harvest Roussanne wine. So we took that nice fresh must, threw it in a big fermenter, added our cider to it, and almost just treated it like a red wine. You know, we did punch downs every day with it. Probably did it for about 3-4 weeks in the fermenter, and then kegged it down. You know, it came out to about 11.7%, so it's up there in the
ABV.
That's
up there. I mean,
yeah.
That's where I kind of consider the wine territory, unless it's an ice wine.
Yeah, right. I'm
but
in
that,
line
that
well.
Region's known as a wine region.
It's true. It's true.
So no doubt. So you're doing what a lot of people call the Venus cider, which is like a fusion of wine and cider.
Absolutely.
Right? With the apple pomace and all that, or the grape skins or the grape
yeah,
barrel.
Yeah, the must, yeah.
Yeah, the must. Yeah.
This is maybe our fourth or fifth version with wine. We have part of our core lineup is called Polly Dolly. This last version is about 85% cider, 15% rosé wine. We did one with Petite Syrah. I mean, it's just so amazing that, you know, with the cider, you can add wine, you can add, you know, other fruits, you can add herbs, whatever you want. It's just such a nice neutral base. I mean, it just pairs well with the wine.
There is a reason why we do it like this. like this, there is a reason.
I'm Drew from Blindwood Cider. We make it in Berkeley, California. We currently do kind of some herbally infused ciders. Yeah, I got interested in cider 6 years ago when I was working on a farm. They had about 80 varieties of apples or so, and it allowed me a chance to, with a home brewing background, kind of play around with some different stuff. And my passion for agriculture and my passion for fermenting kind of fused in cider.
Where was that? Where was that farm?
It's actually through UC Santa Cruz. They have a pretty well-known farm apprenticeship program. So yeah, it's like, I think, like 28 acres of mixed fruit, vegetables, and flowers.
With a killer view of the Pacific Ocean.
You can see the whole Monterey Bay.
It's just absolutely spectacular.
It's great.
Been up there many times.
Yeah.
Cool. So, is that where you got your passion for like this herb too? Or
So I still, you know, I've always been interested in growing things, and you know, this is kind of like the honey and sage. I used to keep bees, so I had access to honey. You know, grew different varieties of herbs and different stuff. So even allowed me to kind of play with things on hand and things that I could kind of get locally. We have a ginger, pink peppercorn, and California bay leaf cider, and that's something where, although the ginger doesn't necessarily grow locally here in the Bay Area, but you know, there's pink peppercorns around a lot. You know, the California bay trees, even though it's not the same as like your culinary bay. But does still kind of give some similar flavors. It's something we have access to locally. So,
Yeah,
just trying to add I don't know, I guess using what I see around me to kind of make some ciders.
Mm-hmm. And so in order to get this cider, where do people have to go? Do they seek it out in the stores?
Yeah, so we're really small. It's, I make it. My wife, Kathy, she sells it. And then my sister, Erin, she does some sales, but she does a lot of kind of the office stuff. So it's just the three of us. We're really small. So since we make it in Berkeley, we're mostly on tap in places in Oakland, Berkeley, Alameda, kind of the East Bay. But we're slowly working on expanding that. We've also recently started bottling, so we're working on getting into stores. But we still have day jobs, so it's kind of as we have time.
So it's a draft. Draft on tap type of scene right now.
Generally, for the most part, yeah.
Start, yeah.
Yeah.
And you got this, like, beautiful, beautiful color in this glass here. This is the hibiscus.
Hibiscus mint, yeah.
Hibiscus mint, 6.9%.
Yeah, so it's completely dry. I'm not much for names, so I figured I'd just call it what it is. And it's, we get some dried hibiscus from a herb company out of San Francisco. And then it's fresh mint from a farm here locally in Half Moon Bay. So we just kind of steep post-fermentation. Kind of, I think, allows kind of the easiest expression of those flavors without kind of encroaching too much on the cider flavors.
Mm-hmm. And making cider in Berkeley, man, that's like, that can't be easy for like getting space there. I'm sure it's like super duper real estate.
Yes.
You know,
well,
prices
we're renting space currently from a small winery there, so we don't quite yet have our own space. We're working at about 200 square feet currently, so it's pretty tight.
Oh my gosh, well, but that's doable. People do it, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're just happy to be in business and doing what we love doing. So that's, you know, that's just important to us, and we're having fun doing that.
There is a reason why we do it like this, but there is a reason why we drink it like this, there is a reason.
I'm Laura Bertoldi from 1051 Cider Co.
And where's that located?
In Morgan Hill, California.
So where's Morgan Hill, California?
We are about 20 minutes south of San Jose before you and about an hour north of Monterey.
An hour north of Monterey, the city, not Monterey Bay. But
yes.
And also you're inland, and what's the scene out there? Are you orchard based? Are you bringing in juice?
We are bringing in juice from the Northwest, mm-hmm. And we are actually the first cider company to open in South County. So nobody's doing it in San Jose or anywhere within the Southern Bay Area. So we are the only ones down there.
All right. And how did you get involved in cider?
So my husband and I actually do CrossFit, and we decided to join a weight loss challenge at our gym, and we were looking for gluten-free alternatives to consume alcohol with. And we had been brewing beer for about 5 years, and we said, let's try to make some cider, because a lot of the options in the grocery stores and things were full of sugar when you were drinking them, mm-hmm. so they weren't the healthiest choices. So we bought some apple juice and some yeast and put it in a carboy, and about a month later, we had cider. We're like, hey, this is good stuff. And from there, it developed with friends and family over campfires, and the concept
we really got
serious about 2015 and decided we were going to apply for a license, and here we are today.
Wow, no kidding. So you just opened, how recently?
We have only been selling for 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Yes.
And we're in, just so listeners know, this is 3 weeks from the end of June. So you have just opened in June.
Yes, our first keg.
June 2019.
Yes, our first keg was tapped about 2.5 weeks ago at the Running Shop and Hops in Morgan Hill. So.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your ciders. What kind of styles are you kicking out there?
So we make a very dry cider.
Yay.
We don't do any back sweetening to our cider as well. That's
hey, it makes sense what you do in CrossFit and all that. And, you know, it's really the direction that the world's going, I believe.
But. Yes, so we want to be able to consume cider, but we don't want to be basically having sugar. So we try to limit the sugar that's in the cider and just to use the natural sugar involved. We do a dry cider. We're working right now on a hop cider that we have going right now. We also work with Brello Farms in Morgan Hill, and they are a cherry farmer, local cherry farmer. We use their cherries to also make a cherry cider. However, cherry season wasn't that great this year, so we won't be producing that this year.
I heard that like 80% of the crop was lost due to all the rain. Is
yes,
that correct?
Unfortunately for them and for us, we won't have a cherry cider this year, but hopefully it's been 2 years that they haven't had a lot of cherries, but hopefully next year will be better. And then because the weather is so warm and great here, we are hoping to probably our next batch to have a pineapple coming out as well.
That's fun. And is there a tasting room? How could folks get your cider?
So we do not have a tasting room currently. We are in the works of that concept right now as we speak. We are only going to be tapped at local bars and restaurants. Right now we're in Morgan Hill, we're in Gilroy, we're in Watsonville, and we're in Hollister, and also in San Jose. So the best way to find us is to look on our website and see where we are currently tapped, and then you can go enjoy our cider.
Mm-hmm. And is there a Facebook page for you guys?
Yes, we are at 1051 Cider.
And also on Instagram, too.
Yes, at 1051 Cider Co.
So all right.
Please follow us and like us and check us out. We appreciate it.
There is a reason why we do it like this. There is a reason why we drink it like this. There is a reason.
Hi, my name is Jen Root Martell, and I'm one of the owners of South City Cider Works. We are located just south of San Francisco in the peninsula in San Mateo County, right by SF International Airport. And little 2,000 square foot space, and we've been around a little over four years.
That's pretty great. So SF, just so Ciderville knows, that's San Francisco Airport, you know.
Right, yeah, south of San Francisco, yeah.
I can tell you're like, you know, you're a local when you're using the little abbreviations. So let's talk about the cidery. You've been open for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here at the Hardcore Cider Tour. What are you pouring today?
So today we have our original blend and our Dry Me a River. We really started the company looking at the market and the shelves, not seeing a lot of cider that we wanted to drink. A lot of it was just cloyingly sweet, and so wanted something that was accessible, easy, went kind of justify, brought a little bit more attention to the apple itself instead of the sweetness. So we started the original blend first. Semi-sweet, 5.5. It's a blend of 13 different apples. We use a white wine yeast and really try to, again, bring out that lovely apple.
Mm-hmm.
And then the biggest response we got is, all right, what else is next? And what do you have that's less sweet? And we're just like, fine, well, we worked really hard on this one, but sure, okay, we'll make another one. So Dry Me a River was our second cider, and it is basically blended back a little bit less juice, only about 2% residual sugar. Still really nice. It brings forward that white wine yeast. You have some Sauvignon Blanc notes, some citrus, and just it's really, again, very simple, accessible, trying to make it just very easy.
What size batches are you doing with this?
So right now we have a 35-barrel bright tank, which is our forced carbonation tank. So we're doing about 1,000 gallons at a time. and about 3,500 gallons a month.
This has a really nice mouthfeel to it.
Oh, lovely. Thank you.
I'm going to take another sip here.
We do try to filter it so that it's nice and crisp. Keeps that nice clean, very fresh flavor.
Yeah, it's almost as if you... sometimes I get that profile when you're getting nice, like, yeast contact. And, you know, so there's that drying mouthfeel at the end. It's not a really tart cider, so for my palate, this is really what I prefer.
Oh, right.
Just because it's going to bring me into the apple a little bit more than the sweet kind of just overpowers it.
Sure.
And I really like the... It's not astringent. It's just that maybe a little bit of tannin structure there that you might get. But yeah, pretty, pretty interesting cider. Well
Thank
done.
Thank you so much.
And
so
this is Dry Me,
really
Dry
nice
Me
little
River.
Acid at the end too. Yes.
There is a reason why we do it like this. There is a reason why we drink it like this. There is a reason.
Hi, my name is Sarah Hemley, and I am the founder and owner of Hemley Cider out in Cortland, California, just south of Sacramento. It's right between Tahoe and San Francisco, so we have the best of all worlds. And we're the farm-to-fork epicenter, basically, of California. We grow the best produce right there.
Oh, you know,
I'm not partial, obviously.
All right, no, but... you're not. No, watch out Imperial Valley, which is Southern Cal and all that, but
oh, yeah. Bring it.
Really? Okay. Yay. So let's talk a little bit about how long you've been open and doing the cider.
So the family's been farming in the Delta since 1850, and my husband's seventh generation pear farmer, and I got into making cider commercially in 2015 was our first commercial batch.
Why did you go commercial? Was that because you had all this product and you're seeing what's going on, or was there an affection towards fermenting in the family that goes back generationally? Or
I think it went back to when I went to school in Berkeley and was exposed to, my roommates worked at Chez Panisse and got exposed to Alice Waters, and then a lot of my friends ended up going to Napa and making wine. And when I married my husband, it was an eye-opening experience to find out the quality of the fruit that was coming out of the Delta. And I had no idea about pears and farming and the hard work and the generations and the story. Mm. It's amazing coming out of that area. And thinking, we make amazing wine in California, and why aren't we making amazing fruit cider? So this was about 12 years ago when we started looking into it. And so we traveled around, went to France and went to England until discovered style back in Tasmania, went down there and tasted ciders.
Way to
and
do it.
That's where we learned to make the style. And for me, the story is about the fruit, the Bartlett fruit. And I had to make a style of cider that focused and highlighted the fruit. So when you taste our cider, it's like you're biting into a Bartlett pear. And that's how we came to make the cider, was basically to pay tribute to everything that's happening in the Delta.
Wow. So those orchards, you must have some old apple and pear trees there.
Over 150 years, yeah.
And how about the pear trees? Like, do you have any older than that? What are you finding? Are they, because they could go much longer, like in Normandy, you know, the 350-year-old trees there.
That's what they call pears for heirs, right?
That's right.
It takes about 8 years to get a crop off it, and then they can last for generations. But the apples are a little bit more short-lived. The apples we started growing probably about 50 years ago.
Okay. Wow. So originally it was pears there.
Originally pears, yeah. And that's, we think about, the cool thing about this story with these pears is that if you think about your parents, your great-grandparents, your great-great-grandparents, if they've had pears, if they've had Bartlett pears, canned pears, they probably had pears from the Delta. It's the largest concentrated pear-growing area in the world. And so they were, because of where we are, where it floods, pear trees can take a little bit more submersion than other trees. So almonds, grapes, now that the levees are there, you can grow more. But originally, the pears took that being underwater for a little bit.
Wow.
And then when you pick them, you don't harvest them when they're ripe. So you can pick them unripe and then take them on the barges and ship them to San Francisco, ship them up to the miners, ship them all over the world from the Delta right there, and then they just traveled all over the world from here.
Wow. So primarily Bartlett is the...
Bartlett's the main crop, but we do have other varieties of pears now, and we grow apples as well, and all of our apples are now certified organic. Wow, if you live there, you have to care about your farming. And
and I can tell that you do.
We do. We're passionate about our fruit.
I love that. So let's talk about the cider that I'm drinking right now. This is a Pink Lady.
That's the Pink Lady cider. So that one comes with a fun story. So... Our Pink Ladies, about maybe 12 years ago, we were approached by a gentleman who owned land up in Davis, and he wanted to grow Pink Lady apples. And he went to a bunch of the different farmers, and they all said, you cannot grow apples in Davis. It's not going to work. But finally, he came to my husband, Matt, and said, look, my wife, her favorite apple was a Pink Lady apple. She absolutely loved it, and she recently passed away. And I want to put this orchard in place in tribute to her. Oh, and so Matt kind of was a sucker and said, all right, we'll do it. So we put 100 acres of Pink Lady apples in Davis. And to this day, it's been in full production, and it's making amazing Pink Lady apples out of there. And I just love the story. It's all in tribute to this memory of this woman. And so now we have this amazing Pink Lady apple cider. It's been fermented with Pink Lady apples and some Granny Smith, all organically certified apples. Malolactic fermentation to give it a little bit of that buttery note, and then it back sweeten it with Pink Lady juice.
Wow, I mean, this is a really delicious and low ABV cider.
4.5%, yeah.
4.5%. I mean, this is sessionable. It just makes me smile, because I'm going to just take another sip here. It's a sweet cider, but it's not cloyingly sweet. That's what I like about it. It's a sweetness that you would expect whenever you bite into an apple.
It's the real thing.
And it has this like really nice like finish, kind of that creaminess that MLF is really working it. Delightful. Where would people get your ciders? Where could they find them?
So mostly in Sacramento, but we are starting to distribute out into the Bay Area. And so we're pushing out from Sacramento, you know, just one more step to world domination.
There is a reason why we do it like this. There is a reason why we drink it like this. There is a reason.
Hi, my name is Anna Sarver, and I'm from California. More specifically, I'm from Pleasant Hill, Martinez area, East Bay of San Francisco. I've been drinking cider for probably about 2 years, seriously, since I don't care for beer. This is a good alternative, and I think it's a good social drink to have when it's available in most places. My favorite style of cider is sweet cider. I don't care for the dry too much. So anytime I can get a sweeter cider, that's what I'm up for, apple or any other flavor. Mm-hmm. My favorite food to eat while drinking cider is usually barbecue, because that's typically when I have the cider, is when I have people over and I have a big barbecue, and more people in my life are starting to explore cider as well.
Thank you for doing that.
No problem. It's been my pleasure and our pleasure as well. And what I want to know about cider is more about how to make it. So I am curious and have the means and the equipment to potentially make it myself, but I'm more interested in the process and how, and exploring that side of it, and how do we get to these flavors, and how do we make it taste so good, and the history and the heritage behind it also. That part is important, because cider isn't something that just appeared overnight. It's been around for centuries and other parts of the world, and culturally, and a sense of community. What does that mean? So that's what I want to know more about.
Is this your first cider fest that you've ever been to?
Yes, it is. Yes,
wow.
It is. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it is
awesome.
My first one. So
first
I have friends
of many,
of mine. Yeah, first of many, yes, absolutely. I'll definitely be on the lookout for more, for sure. So I'm enjoying it today.
There is a reason why we do it like this. There is a reason why we drink it like this. There is a reason.
Hi, this is Becky, and I am from Massachusetts. I've been drinking cider for all of the happy days of my life. But really, mostly since I started coming to the Hardcore Cider Tour 3 years ago. My favorite style of cider is anything that has a pinkish tint to it and is slightly sweet but not too much. My favorite food to eat while drinking cider is basically anything. And what I want to know about cider is, how can I get more of it?
There is a reason why we do it like this. There is a reason why we drink it like this. There is a reason.
Hi, this is Hummer, and I'm from California. I've been drinking cider for, oh man, probably like 10 years, a decade, a full decade of cider drinking. My favorite side of cider is probably the dry stuff. The drier, the better. Very dry. Yeah. And my favorite food to eat while drinking cider is I should probably eat more while drinking cider. Probably a taco, because anything from a street, like, van is good. And what I know about cider is it's made from apples, mostly. But sometimes berries, it seems like. Yeah.
They could be added into. Of apple juice as fermented, yeah. And then people add fruits into it and other things. Some makers do, and then some makers are very strict and they won't do anything but straight up fermented
apple juice. I've made beer before, like a few times, but with beer you add sugar into it. With cider, you don't have to do that, do you?
You don't have to do it. Some people do it because they want that more sweet profile, and they'll add sugar to like kick up the yeast again, so it'll create some bubbles and whatnot. Yeah. But you don't necessarily have to, especially if you like dry cider.
That's what I do like. Yeah.
You don't want the cider that's added with any kind of sugar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
That's something new I learned then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There is a reason why we do it like this. There is a reason why we drink it like this. There is a reason.
Hi, I'm Kayla from Gall, California. I've been drinking cider for 2 months. Woo! My favorite style is sweet. I like eating tacos with cider because it's small and you can have a whole bunch. I want to know what type of fruit cider is made out of. Mainly is pear.
You know, the thing to know about cider is that, like wine, there are grapes that you eat, right? The green grapes in the store, those red ones. But you probably wouldn't ever go after the wine-making grapes. Yeah. That's true with cider. Primarily, the focus for a long time before the U.S. makers got involved is to make cider specifically with cider apples, which are very bittersweet. Are bitter sharp. They have a certain kind of tannic structure, really good tannic wine. But now we're seeing Americans at Henley Cider. She has Bartlett pears where it's eating pears, but she's doing a phenomenal job making a pear cider out of that. And then the Pink Lady that she has, that 4.5%, is made out of the Pink Lady apple, which is an apple that you'd buy to eat. So it's really beautiful that there's some, great work going forward with people making great cider out of culinary apples. And that's kind of probably really sustain the market and also help save a lot of orchards. And that's what I really like about cider.
I was just in Europe last week and I bought a bottle of cider.
Ooh, what country?
I was in France and I was in England.
Yeah.
I bought my cider in France. And I haven't tried it yet, so I'm looking forward to seeing how it tastes compared to what we've got here.
There is a reason why we do it like this. There is a reason why we drink it like this. There is a reason.
Hi, this is Jay Brizzle. I am from all over the U.S. I've lived in almost every state. I've been drinking cider since before you were born. My favorite style of cider is anything with berries. Oliveberry, cherry, blackberry, all that good stuff. My favorite food to eating cider, tacos. Any kind of taco, the good stuff. What I want to know about cider is, where do I get it and where do I get more?
There is a reason why we do it like this. There is a reason why we drink it like this. There is a reason.
Hi, this is Samantha, and I'm from California. I've been drinking cider since I was 19 years old, so 11 years. My favorite style of cider is dry, sometimes fruity. My favorite food to eat while drinking cider is anything, really. What I want to know about cider is what kind of apples you use. If you use trash apples or really tasty, delicious apples.
Yeah. Would you like to know right now?
Yes.
Okay. Well, a lot of the makers here are using culinary apples, the ones that you eat. So when you make cider, it's a lot like making wine, essentially. There's grapes that you eat and grapes that are only made for wine, right? But in cider, there's kind of an ability at this point for makers Henley. They're using the Pink Lady apple to make a delicious 4.5% cider. In other markets, people are able to get cider apples that are bittersweet and bitter sharp, and they have this really pronounced tannin structure to it, and it creates a really unique type of cider that we don't always get to have because we don't have a high concentration of cider apples in this country. So the U.S. is kind of in an interesting place right now where we have a lot of culinary apples, a lot of culinary pears, and as such, makers are doing the best they can with the fruit that they have. But it's just, they press the juice, just the cider that you buy in the store, You probably have made cider if you have ever gotten fresh pressed apple juice and it sits in your, it's not, if it's not pasteurized.
And then you just like throw it away.
And it starts getting kind of soury and a little funky because it's fermenting.
Uh-huh.
That's it's on the road to becoming cider.
So we should just drink that. We shouldn't throw it away and then
you
go
can,
spend $12 for a four pack of cider at
the
store.
No, I mean, you want to watch out because when you drink something that hasn't fully fermented, it can maybe make your tummy a little upset.
Sure.
And so that's where you want to watch out for that.
So that's so interesting. I grew up with horses, and some of the people on the ranch that I was at would collect the crab apples that fell to the ground.
Yeah.
And they would just make cider with that. And I remember it being like really dry, really like kind of bitter, kind of more like like a bitter beer.
Right.
Like, it was really like, so that's why I was wondering if everyone used that or if it was.
People do put crab apples in because it has that great tannic structure. Yeah, a whole different.
And that's like the only thing you can do with it, really, because they don't taste good.
Yeah.
Like, horses will eat it. But.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. There's, you know, people have the saying, like, make cider with ugly apples.
Yeah.
Because they're the spitters, the ones that people don't want to eat because they're really high in that tannic structure and other, you know, beautiful flavors that when fermented just, like, make this kind of cider that you like, that nice dry cider. Yeah.
Cool.
So nice to meet you. Thank you so much.
Nice to meet you, too.
There is a reason why we do it like this, but there is a reason why we drink it like this, there is a reason.
Hi, this is Derek, and I'm from California. I've been drinking cider for, I don't know, about 2 years now or so. My favorite style of cider, well, it's kind of up in the air. I do like the dry ciders because I do like champagne and wines and that sort of thing. But I also like certain fruity ciders as well. Like we had the Indigene blackberry cider. It was extremely good. My favorite food to eat while drinking cider? Well, that's pretty much anything. I mean, I just kind of eat anything
well
no matter
said.
What. Yeah,
well
I mean
said.
that's what I like. But what I like most about cider is that it doesn't fill you up.
Yeah,
you know?
I hear that. Yeah.
What I want to know about cider is well. We need more cider.
How to get more cider?
Yeah. We actually need more cider.
Yeah.
I mean, because most of these places here, we've never heard of. And my wife and I here are really big cider drinkers.
And, how did you discover cider?
Actually, because she doesn't like beer. And she likes champagne. And then a friend of ours is allergic to gluten. So because of all that, we ended up switching to cider.
Got it.
Now, I still drink beer, obviously, but cider is just a great alternative to beer. You know, it's not filling. It doesn't have that much sugar in it, all that kind of stuff, but it actually tastes good. So.
Well, that's a no-brainer.
Exactly.
Yeah, you found your home. Perfect.
Yeah, I know. And this place, so it's our anniversary.
Oh. Happy anniversary!
And, yeah, it's our anniversary today.
Wow.
And
congratulations.
Don't ask how many years. I know. It's been a while. But she was really into going here, and it was a good time. Yeah.
Really nice.
We might go to the next one in San Diego.
Okay, the next Hardcore Cider Tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
My pleasure.
There is a reason why we do it like this. There is a reason why we drink it like this. There is a reason.
One of the things that I learned at the Hardcore Cider Tour that I didn't know about before, and I learned this from Sarah Hemley of Hemley Cider. Remember, she's based up outside of Sacramento in an area called the Delta, is that region is, in fact, it's the town of Cortland, California. They have an annual pear fair. It always takes place the last Sunday in July, so this year it's going to be July 28th. It's an all-day affair. It starts with like a morning run. There's a parade. They're selling pear pies. It's all about pears. And that region, and Hemley's too, they are huge producers of Bartlett pears. And what I was tasting at the table for Hemley, I was like, stoked to see so much great product coming out with pears. And of course, you're sometimes using a little bit of apple in there too, but
check that out. I was really impressed. I was impressed by all the makers. But you know me, I'm going to get really stoked when I see something about pears. In fact, she gave me a bottle of their Lydia, which is a sparkling pear juice, and it's called under the label Hemley Soda. It's unfiltered, stone carbonated. You want to swirl it up before drinking it. I had that Lydia, and it's a beautiful label, by the way. It's an old-time label that they brought back. It's delicious. It's like a really healthy kind of drink. You feel like, oh my God, this is a soda. Sign me up. Sign me up to the counter. No doubt. Sign me up to the counter and walk out the door and lock it behind me. I'm good to go. So I love that when cideries are offering actually something non-alcoholic, like the pure juice, and then kind of scaling you up to actually taste the product that's made from that pure juice. So if some of you are in the business of making cider or perry or pear cider, that would be a nice addition if you're not doing that already. A little bit of a juice taste, and also it's great for the designated drivers or folks who can't be drinking alcohol for whatever reason. So anyways, the Pear Fair happening July 28th this year, always the last Sunday in July. I'm going to have a link in the show notes to the Pear Fair and to all the makers on this year's episode, including the Hardcore Cider Tour. I believe their next stop, as you heard, would be San Diego in the fall. Check it out. Support your local Cider Fest. It's a great way to get a nice demi-tasse of all the different ciders there, meet some amazing people, and keep on helping cider go up around the world. The oldest Cider Fest in the USA takes place in my spot of Ciderville. So, you know, one side of the continent here, you have the Pear Fair in Cortland, California. And in Franklin County, we have Franklin County Cider Days. It always takes place the first weekend of November. And this year, that is November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So it's turned into a three-day event, which is huge because one time it was only one day and kind of a short one day at that. The day before, on the 31st of October, I am in the planning now for another New England Cider Tour that would be leaving from the hub, Greenfield, Massachusetts, and going out and doing a day of a cider touring in New England. If you are interested in this tour, you need to contact me now. I'm going to be setting up this tour a little bit differently, where you need to contact me directly, and then you'll get the info on that. So send me an email. It's going to be to Ria, R-I-A, at ciderchat.com. I need a critical amount of people to be able to do this tour, and I'm sending this out now. And by the end of September, if I don't have that critical amount of people, I won't be running this tour. So it's really dependent upon you folks out there in Ciderville to, you know, on these lazy days of summer, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, to get to the phone or get to your laptop somehow and send me a message. Ria at ciderchat.com if you want to go on the New England Cider Tour and to get more info as we're going along. If it's anything like last year's tour, which was crazy fun, I can only imagine it's going to be even that much better. I mean, can you make it better? I suppose you can, because every year the cider just keeps getting better and better. Again, send me an email, Ria at ciderchat.com. In the subtitle, I want to go New England Cider Tour, something like that. Or I don't know, I should make it easy. Let me see, what could you put in the subtitle? New England Cider Tour. That's all you need to put in. Give me your contact info and we'll take it from there. I now have a number of people interested, but I need a critical mass to do this. And you really want to be involved and coming to Franklin County Cider Days, the 25th year. I am setting up with Ambrosia Borowski a Calvados tasting on Friday. So that'd be the next day after the cider tour. That's going to be a ticketed event. We're looking at having six different types of apple brandy and Calvados there to be able to experience and have a educational tasting with Ambrosia. If you don't know who Ambrosia is, you might know of the Northman, the cider bar in Chicago. Ambrosia is the general manager for the Northman. So there's a lot of good stuff. That's just like the kickoff event for Cider Days. And there's a cider pub sing that night. It's just like endless fun. So again, if you want to come on the New England Cider Tour, send an email to me, Rhea@ciderchat.com. And now for a little shout out to the following commercial operations that help support this podcast via the Cider Chat Cider Going Up campaign at the Patreon page for Cider Chat. And that would be NMR Process Analytics, based in Danbury, Connecticut. They do cider analysis. You want to contact John Edwards there. That might help you if you have any kind of labeling or other questions about your cider, whether you are a commercial operation or a hobbyist. John is the person to talk to. Ramborn Cider Company, based in the country of Luxembourg. They are the one and only cidery there commercially, and they are helping save apple trees and pear trees by removing mistletoe and making some fantastic products out of all those beautiful palms. Then there is Insider Japan. That is spearheaded by Lee Reeve, a super duper guy. He's also in media and at the same time supporting Cider Chat, which is amazing, providing you a quarterly bilingual magazine detailing what is happening in that region of the world for cider enthusiasts and cider makers. And also Ross On Y, a cider and pairing company based in the West Country of England. Ross Cider Fest is coming up the last weekend of August. That is a do not miss. And if you can't get there, dang, just get some of their cider. It is fan-freaking-tastic. All these folks are amazing, and you would be super duper amazing too if you, like them, supported Cider Chat. Just go to the Cider Chat Patreon page, and you could also have an option to just go to the Cider Chat Donate Today page at ciderchat.com. Well, that's a wrap. If you want to hear the full song of We Like Cider, sung by myself and my cousin Jay, just stay out to the end of this year's episode, and I hope you sing along. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville. There is a reason why we do it like this. There is a reason why we do it like this. There is a reason why we drink it like this. There is a reason why we do it like this. We like cider, we like palms, we like orchards and heaven comes. We like walking through the orchards, dancing through the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet. There is a reason, there is a reason, there is a reason. Blossoms kicking up our feet. Oh yeah. We like cider. Oh yes we do. We like palms. Oh yes we do. We like orchards and heaven thunder. There is a reason. There is a reason why we do it like this. Ba-dum, ba-dum. There's a reason why we do it like this. Ba-dum, ba-dum. There's a reason.